a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
So glad that you could be with us tonight. Thank you for choosing to listen to Cradle My Heart Radio. I'm your host, Kim Cotola, and you are the reason why we're here. So I very much appreciate you being with us. Especially on this Memorial Day weekend, we are live and very grateful that our guest has carved out some time also on a holiday weekend for us. And so we're going to get to her very quickly. But I just want you to, if you missed it this week, if you haven't had a chance to visit our website at cradlemyheart.org, I'd like you to go and read the open letter posted there to Toni Braxton. She was in the news last week. It is really when the stories started coming forward about a week ago. With the release of her memoir, Unbreak My Heart, Toni Braxton wrote very candidly about having had an abortion for convenience sake. She mentioned that she was taking Accutane, but their bottom line was a motivation of her just wanting it to not be a problem in her life. And the consequences that she went through, she's, again, very, very frank and very candid about. And I think that her story so resonates with so many people that I have talked with, especially those who in the early going feel as though God is punishing you when other occasions for grief occur, when other calamities strike. You seem to circle back to this idea that, well, I deserve this. God is punishing me because of the hand I had in taking the life of a child. I believe Toni has worked her way through it, but if you have ever had those feelings, and if you ever have lingering feelings of God punishing you for something that you've done that's irrevocable, like abortion, I hope you'll read the open letter posted to Toni Braxton there. And I hope Toni reads it, too. We got a lot of commentary back, especially on Twitter and Facebook, and many people saying that they were praying for her and hope that she would read it. And we'll talk about it a little bit more maybe as the program goes on. But I want to start there. Just send you to cradlemyheart.org as your time permits. Read the letter. Let me know what you think. Respond what you would say to someone who feels as though God is enacting a punishment when bad things happen to us. That's just not biblical. That is not the story that God is writing in our lives ever since the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a very different ending that God has in mind for us. And I know we can talk about that with our guest tonight, too, who I want to now introduce to you. Francine Rivers is New York Times bestselling author who's published many, many novels, all bestsellers, and she continues to win industry acclaim and reader loyalty all around the globe. Her Christian novels have been awarded or nominated for so many honors, including the Rita Award, Christie Award, the ECPA Gold Medallion, the Holt Medallion in honor of outstanding literary talent. And in 1997, after winning her third Rita Award for inspirational fiction, she was inducted into the Romance Writers of America Hall of Fame. Her novels have been translated into over 20 different languages. And she and her husband, Rick, enjoy spending time with their children and grandchildren. And Francine, it's a joy to say hello to you once more and welcome you to Cradle My Heart Radio tonight.
It's very nice to be talking to you.
Oh, thank you also for making time available on a holiday weekend. That's really special, and I know our listeners are pleased that you're able to do that for us.
Well, this is a topic that has a lot of deep meaning for me because I had an abortion when I was in college. And it, you know, when you were talking about the guilt that comes in, I think that's a normal process that happens to all of us. And I remember it hit me when Rick and I got married and we were expecting our first baby, and I lost the baby in miscarriage, and I immediately flashed back to what I'd done. And of course, Rick had had nothing to do with it, but he was suffering the consequences, I felt, of what what I had done. And, you know, there was a lot of guilt involved. And I think sometimes, too, what we don't talk about is that abortion can set up problems with conceiving and infertility and miscarriages. So there is some of that, which just, and I think that intensifies the guilt.
Right, a medical consequence is not God's punishment, but it's something that still is devastating and grief-causing. Well, thank you for sharing that, Francine. I really appreciate your transparency there. And, you know, the story with Toni Braxton, I'm very encouraged by the fact that she is able to express and articulate this irrational fear of God's punishment, because, you know, when she went on The View to talk about this week, Whoopi Goldberg has been very candid about abortion in her past, but very unapologetic. Whoopi jumped right up and said, but you weren't ready, you know, and that can never help a wounded conscience to have someone come up with a reason why you shouldn't feel guilty. It just is not the way that we heal.
Well, and I think most women that are going in to have an abortion already are feeling their conscience is talking to them. But our culture is such that it's, you know, life is a choice. And what I see is that, of course, this is a little different topic, but is when you raise an entire generation to believe that life is a choice and you can kill your child, it also plays on the other end of euthanasia and more talk about, you know, about what's going on. I never thought I'd see it on the California ballot, but it was on a couple of years ago, to have assisted suicide and to encourage, you know, the ill and the elderly to commit suicide. It always the same kind of thinking.
And that has to impact the rest of us. If you're in the caregiver spectrum of someone who's facing, you know, horrible suffering, or, you know, it affects all of us. It's a collective problem. We may say to ourselves, well, gee, euthanasia, it doesn't concern me. Abortion, it doesn't concern me. But we cannot escape the impact of it by the fact that, as you say, you know, we're sanctioning it.
Well, there's a lot of emotional stuff that comes along with it, because before I wrote The Atonement Child, which really deals with all the ramifications, the character of Hannah in that story is actually based on my story. But before I even started, I knew I needed to talk to my family about it, and I needed to talk to my mom. And that's when she was telling me that, you know, when your dad told you that I had had a miscarriage when you were about 3 years old, she said it was not a miscarriage. It was an abortion, and it was done in a hospital setting because she had tuberculosis. And it was not late term, but long enough, far enough along that they knew what sex the child was. And she said, you would have had a 44-year-old brother. And she was crying as she was telling me this. And it was one of the reasons that I wanted to write that story, because I thought there's so many women out there suffering in silence and guilt when there is healing. And there, you know, there is a way to put that burden down and understand that God's mercy covers everything.
Amen. And, you know, I mean, what I have said to women who are fearing God's punishment is that, you know, God's word says to us in Isaiah 53 that the punishment that brought us peace with God was upon Christ. And by that punishment that he willingly received for us, we are healed. And it's finished as soon as we believe for us individually. I mean, it's already finished, but for our sorrow is finished as soon as we believe that his punishment is enough, that God is satisfied with that, that he's not out to punish us. And it's a simple step of faith, but it can't be done in any other way other than to take that step.
Well, and I know that when I became a Christian later in my life, even though I had been raised in a Christian family, I was in my late 30s. There's a difference between, you know, head knowledge and heart knowledge and actually surrendering your life. And that's when things began to change for me. But it was a good 8 years before I could deal with that issue. It kept coming up in my life, kept haunting me. And when I knew that God was pushing me to write that book, I used to go out for long walks and just go, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to look at that. You've forgiven me. What I learned in the process of writing that book is God had forgiven me a long time ago. I had forgiven myself. That's a lot harder to do, I think, to actually allow allow the experiencing of the healing inside of you, because I think people hold on to it to punish themselves. The term, the atonement child, has a lot to do with people that have a pregnancy and then they decide to abort the child. They will very often go right out and repeat the same scenario that got them pregnant in the first place. And they're trying to unconsciously atone for the child that they've killed. And so it's like a repeat. I know when I was in post-abortive class, there was a woman in there that had had 6 abortions. And she said, I just would get harder and harder each time. And she said, and nobody knows, and I'm a music minister in a church.
So right, it makes sense. I mean, if it was traumatic the first time and then you're unconsciously going through it to try to correct it, the second time it's not as traumatic. By the fifth or sixth time, as you say, your heart is hardened to it, and so then you can tell yourself, well, maybe I was really wrong about that first one.
Yeah, but then God breaks through. You know, God really broke through to her and brought mm-hmm. her into that post-abortion class. And we were going through, basically it was a Bible study, and we were learning about the purity of God, the holiness of God, and how he looks at sin. And sin, you know, we tend to think of, okay, abortion is the worst sin in the world, you know, to us. And yet, God looks at sin, all sin is the same in God's eyes. There is no one worse than another. And it just takes time to also, you know, you see his holiness, but then you begin to see why Christ came and the mercy that he's pouring on you and how he's reaching out to you all the time, and that the forgiveness has already been done. It's time for you to just let go of it and give him the burden, because he already went to the cross over it. You know, give it to him and then allow yourself to receive that healing and really understand that forgiveness in your life. And I frankly couldn't talk about it for years until I wrote that book, and God was bringing me through the process of healing in writing that story. And at the end, I could talk about it and I could share with other people that this is what abortion did to me and this is what God did for me.
It's an amazing thing what healing does. It allows us to find our voice. Tonight our guest is Francine Rivers, and it's time for a short break, which gives you a time to get to the phone and join us. We're live tonight on this Memorial Day weekend, and our phones are open at 800-811-3003. And Francine Rivers, our guest, has graciously made 2 copies of her latest book available for anyone with a question or comment. Our first 2 callers, I should say, with a question or comment on the air. You must come and speak with Ms. Rivers yourself. Ms. Rivers. At 800-811-3003. Join us now tonight on Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Back to Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
If you would like a copy of Francine Rivers' new book, Bridge to Haven, call right now at 800-811-3003. Our first 2 callers who will come on the air and greet Ms. Rivers will receive a complimentary copy of the book. And it's just released, so this is really hot off the press, and I'm excited to read it myself, Francine. Again, the number is 800-811-3003. It doesn't have to be a lengthy comment. You can just maybe say your favorite novel by Francine Rivers, or just say hello, whatever you would like to join us with your question or comment is very welcome tonight. 800-811-3003, and the phones are open. And Francine, thank you again for being transparent and sharing your story. I think the more that women learn not only, you know, the truth of what has happened to us, because abortion is still such an isolating experience, but the more that women learn, you know, what has happened to other women and to other women who are role models, such as yourself, I think you know, your story really illustrates that working through and processing that experience informed your work, informed the thing that, you know, that you're now known for, bringing glory to God by doing your writing. And it's very counterintuitive when your pen is poised and you're thinking, as you said, I don't want to go back there, much less write about it. I don't want to, you know, think about this. But I think that too is such an encouragement for people to know that God really does write good endings. He really does bring.
He does indeed.
Bring so much
good out of
it.
I think, you know, when you go back to the darkest places in your life, you've already survived, and God is with you, and He'll show you new eyes when you're there. I was thinking about, you know, what you were saying about writing the letter to Toni Braxton, and I think the problem with our society and a program like The View is, people are not allowed to grieve, and we need to be able to grieve our children. In this course that I took, we were allowed to grieve for the children that we had given up, and we were allowed to just pray and ask God what sex they were and name them and literally grieve over them.
And
I think that's a process that's very healing, to acknowledge their humanity. And it used to frighten me, because I thought, you know, someday I'm going to face that child in heaven, except that in heaven everything is perfect, and that child will not be accusing me. That child will be greeting me.
Mm. And, you know, I think, Francine, along with forgiving yourself, which you mentioned, the whole thing about recovering after abortion is guilt and grief, guilt and grief. It always circles back to those two dynamics. And so, yes, we have to forgive ourselves as part of the healing of the guilt. And, you know, the grief, I think in my case, I attach to that grief, because if I stopped grieving, then the whole experience was over. You know, but what I have learned through faith is that Christ is our bridge to the children in heaven. We don't have to hold on to the earthly grief and the missing them. And it's so important to take this step that Francine's talking about. If you're listening tonight and this is a new idea to you, to go through a post-abortion Bible study, have the chance to grieve in community with people who understand and who will welcome you and make that a safe process. Because then when the memories occur, you can say, oh, that's right, I had a loving gesture toward my lost child. Oh, that's right, I wrote that letter. Oh, that's right, I have that, you know, cup sitting in the place in our home where all of our children are honored. Whatever gesture it is that you've done, these memorials become very, very meaningful.
Well, I have a little angel I put on my tree every year, on the Christmas tree. And I also have a little angel for each of the children that I lost, because I lost our first, the first pregnancy, I lost that child, and then we had a child, then I lost another child, had another child, and lost another one. So I lost three. So I have four angels on my tree to remember them. And it's not, you know, it's a healing thing. I was thinking the difference, too, between guilt and conviction. Guilt tends to imprison us, keep us silent, keep us locked away and isolated. Where, you know, when you feel that sense of guilt, it can be conviction. And it can be God drawing you and saying, just give it to me. I already know I was there with you. Just speak it aloud to me and lay it down. And so the conviction will bring you to the Lord. But the guilt does lock you away. You just have to change the way you look at it.
Change the way you look at
guilt. Let it be conviction. Let that guilt turn to conviction, and let that conviction take you to the Lord, because we know in our very essence that we have made a wrong choice. And to acknowledge that, I've made that wrong. I've made a wrong choice here, and it cost a human life. But I can go to God, and God will forgive me, and my child will forgive me, and I can go on with my life and not have this weight inside of me. It's like a very heavy weight, I think, that you carry around for years. A lot of people, they don't even acknowledge it. They push it down so deep that it can take years before it surfaces, but it eventually does.
This is such great wisdom Francine Rivers is sharing with us, especially on this, you know, question of guilt and conviction. And one thing that you've said, Francine, I just really want to underline, you know, if you read God's word and if you counsel with God's people and you begin to change your thinking, my friend, you will then see your emotions come in line. It just doesn't happen the other way around. And I can promise you that. I mean, I went 20 years, you know, seeking secular counseling, every self-help book on the shelf, trying to fix my emotions. But as soon as my thinking was improved, because my mind had been transformed by God's word, as it says it will be in Romans 2, as soon as my thinking was correct, my spirit began to agree with, you know, the new thoughts that God was giving me, and that's when freedom and healing comes.
Well, and so often when you listen to people that aren't Christians, or you're reading other sources or listening to other counselors, they're telling you, you did nothing wrong. What's bothering you? Why should it bother you at all? But we were made in God's image. And I think that's why you know instinctively that mm-hmm. you've done something wrong. And it's, you know, like when you're talking about Whoopi Goldberg saying, well, you know, it was the wrong time. It's like that's negating what she was feeling, because she was acknowledging, I knew this was a wrong decision, and it, look at how it's hurt my life and it's broken my heart. And here's somebody that's saying, oh, well, why? Don't even go there. And yet, you know, if you come alongside somebody through, like, a pregnancy counseling center, they have post-abortive counseling. They'll come alongside you and say, yes, but I'm with you, and I'll walk with you back to the healer. And the healer is waiting for you and has been waiting for you the whole time and loves you. And his love is unchanging. It's never changed, and it will not change.
Amen. Goosebumps. Let's go to the phones. We have callers ready to talk with our guest tonight, who is Francine Rivers, and here's our phone number for you, 800-811-3003. First up is Marilyn, listening in Toledo, Ohio, or Iowa? Toledo, Iowa? Marilyn, welcome to Cradle My Heart.
Well, I know it's confusing with two Toledos, but I'm in Iowa.
Toledo, Iowa. All right, welcome. Well, say hello to Francine.
Well, hi, Francine. I've been told that coincidence is God's handiwork, and he remains anonymous. I checked two of your books out Friday from the public library, A Mother's Hope and A Daughter's Dream, and I just finished them. They're wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I've never had an abortion, but I have a friend of over 30 years that has, and I've seen what it has done. So I'm going to give your book to her.
Well,
oh,
great,
thank
Marilyn.
You.
Thank you. Thanks for your call. Hold on, and we'll get the information so we can get you a copy of Francine's latest. Tonight it's Bridge to Haven, and we're going to talk about that after the break. Let's get one more call in before we go to our break. Anita is listening in Georgia tonight. Welcome, Anita.
Hi, Francine. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Anita?
I am good, and it is just by God's providence that you're speaking on this subject. I have never had an abortion, but I am a nurse, and I worked when I was younger in an abortion clinic, and I've seen many and participated in many, and I carried the guilt of that for many, many years after I became a Christian. And it's only within the last couple of years that I have managed to, the Lord has helped me to forgive myself for taking part in those actions, and I just, I'm so grateful and thankful that you're speaking on the healings of this type of issue, because not only do mothers need healing, but also the people who participated in it and know the depths and the gravity of what they're doing also need healing from it as well.
No, very, very definitely. I was able to meet, and I also heard Abby Johnson speak. She wrote a book called Unplanned, and she ran a Planned Parenthood abortion clinic in Texas for 8 years. And it took that long, a lot of prayer of people around the corner that were from a pro-life center, just loving her and just opening the door to her and saying, you know, we're just praying for you every day and greeting her each day because they'd pray in front of the fence. But it's very true. I think that the people that are working in the clinics are also victims. And they need to be prayed for and loved, you know, because accusations and stuff, it just, people don't understand. I mean, if they don't understand what they're doing is wrong, they're not going to understand what you're saying. And the best way is just to heal them, just to heal them is to just love them and pray for them and speak to them, try to build a relationship with them.
Oh, yes. Definitely. And an important thing is to forgive yourself.
Anita, thank you for
the forgiveness and forgive yourself.
Amen.
Well.
Yes. Yes.
Anita, stay on the line and we'll get the information so you can get a copy of Bridge to Haven. And also, Anita, I also have met Abby Johnson. She has an organization now called And Then There Were None that is not only providing jobs for people who want to leave the abortion industry, but also is helping with the healing journey for former workers. And so I would definitely look up And Then There Were None by Abby Johnson,
okay,
and the ministry that she started, I think, a year or so ago here. Thank you for calling. Stay on the line so we get your information.
Thank you, Anita.
Phone lines are open at 800-811-3003. Our guest tonight, Francine Rivers. Short break, and then we'll be back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003. Cattola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Tonight's guest is Francine Rivers, the New York Times best-selling author of many, many novels, including her latest, Bridge to Haven. And we're talking about that in this segment and also taking your phone calls. 800-811-3003 is our number. I'm Kim Cattola, and we're live this Memorial Day weekend and very grateful that Francine has graciously agreed to join us on a Sunday night on a holiday weekend. That's love, Francine.
It's my pleasure.
800-811-3003. Thanks for holding through the break. Let's say hello to Ramona listening in Georgia tonight. Hi, Ramona. Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Okay, have we got Ann from Minneapolis?
I am very grateful.
Hi, Ann.
That
welcome
you're on.
To Cradle My Heart.
Hi, thank you. I'm grateful that you're on this Memorial Day weekend, too. I just learned about your program not too long ago, and I've really been liking it. I have been involved in the pro-life movement since 1974, right after Roe v. Wade, when I went in great fear and trembling to my first precinct caucus, and I've only missed one since then. So I'm very, very aware of this whole subject and everything it involves. And one thing I think you're doing so well tonight is pointing out that denial of guilt does not help anyone. And I have often thought, in experiences in my own life, that guilt could be compared to physical pain, in that there are people who, for whatever reason, their bodies cannot experience pain. There's a syndrome, and I can't think of the name of it, where it's some kind of a neurological problem, and they don't even have tears. They cannot shed tears. These people have severe medical problems because pain is a warning. Something's wrong. You need help. You need to do something, because if you don't, your body is going to fail you. And the same way spiritual guilt is telling you something's wrong. You need help. You need healing. You need to see the doctor, the spiritual doctor, Jesus Christ. But one thing that you said, I did want to just add some thoughts on, because I have thought about this a great deal. because I listen to Christian radio a lot, and there's often talk about how all sin is equal in the sense that, you know, sin is sin, and it's all an offense to a holy God, and we cannot even imagine how horrible it is. If we, in fact, I have often thought if we did know how bad even a single sin was, we would be suicidal. We could not face that. But I do believe, and I think it's scriptural, that there are sins that are more serious than others. And think of when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and he said to him, to Pilate, the one who delivered me up to you has the greater sin. And then also in John's epistle, in his first letter, in the fifth chapter, he talks about that not all sin is deadly. There, wrongdoing is sin, but not all sin is deadly. There is such a thing as deadly sin. And I think we should not deny that there are some sins that really are worse than other sins. It is a worse sin to do what that man just did the other day, killing all those people, innocent people, than it is to, let's say, steal a postage stamp. I think there is a difference in degree of sin. And I think abortion is a very serious sin. And that's why it is so urgent that those who have been through it or involved in it need to deal with it, because it's like the difference between cancer and a hangnail. You know, the hangnail, you might be able to let go, it might get infected. But if you have cancer, you better get help.
Well, even culturally, in the Bible, it talks about... culturally, in the Bible, too, it talks about, like, the god of Molech, they were sacrificing their children, and God would bring judgment on the entire nation. So, yes, there are definitely things that bring, you know, tremendous judgment. But I think the only unforgivable sin, in my understanding, is to refuse the Holy Spirit, because then you don't have salvation. And Christ did not die on the cross to enhance our lifestyle. He died to save us, literally to save us. And I think for us, too, as human beings, we do see things in, you know, some sins are greater than others. And taking a life is tremendously serious and should not be just kind of made light of it. And that certainly wasn't my intention. But I also think that, you know, with our nation, we need to pray for our nation, because God looks at nations, and he can make them rise and he can make them fall. And in the past, he has made nations fall because of what they did to their children.
Yep. I have a lot to fear.
And thank you for your call. We really appreciate that, and giving Francine a chance to clarify there. God bless you, too. Let's go next to Debbie listening in North Dakota. Hi, Debbie. Welcome. You're on Cradle My Heart Radio tonight with our guest, Francine Rivers. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I bet this is kind of a situation about another person, but I was wondering, is it possible that having had two abortions and having children then, and then having a tubular and having a miscarriage, could this person still not have dealt with it because she seems to have anger and like a lost feeling? I see.
I think that's very possible, because, you know, I waited for a long time. I stuffed it down inside me, and it was something I didn't want to think about. And my husband and I talked about it, but it was something, it's kind of like the elephant in the room. Everybody kind of walks around it, but they don't want to talk about it. But it does cause a lot of emotional damage to you, because it brings it up. Things happen in your life, and it brings back the past, and you remember what happened and the reasons that you made the decision you did. And I think there's suffering in that score. And I think basically what the friend can do is just pray and walk alongside of her. I don't know of any family that has not been touched by abortion, either a friend or a relative, you know, somebody they know has had an abortion. It's not something where, you know, and sometimes it's kept secret, but you can see the ramifications in the emotional life of the person.
Yeah, because I just
thank you.
Can't figure out what I can do for her, because it just, it angers deep. And I,
yeah.
To me, I started to think about this, and I think she hasn't dealt with it, and she's not really spiritual, but I've been working on it. So she's been drawn to the church a little more, but I am, and it's just...
Well, I don't know. I hate to promote my books, but I would, if she's a fiction reader, I would give her Redeeming Love first, and then give her The Atonement Child second. And if the subject comes up, you can tell her Francine wrote this book because she's Hannah in the story. And it might, you know, sometimes fiction can help open communication. We're handing somebody a Bible and they're not ready to read the Bible. They'll just reject it out of hand. So it's a way to share your faith and to open discussion about God's love and about the ramifications of abortion and how it impacts people and how it hurts people.
I hope that helps, Debbie. Thank you for your call. Appreciate that. And Francine, I can't think of better advice to give, especially if somebody, as you say, isn't already, you know, tapped into being able to receive God's word. You know, the Holy Spirit has to open it up to us.
Yeah,
and
people usually take it as, they're going to start preaching at me.
Music.
Yes, music too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Francine Rivers is our guest tonight, and Vivian is listening in Minneapolis. Vivian, go ahead, please, with your question or comment for Francine.
Hi. I kind of have a different issue. I have not had an abortion, although I am aware of countless number of women in my family and in my circle that has. But my issue, and I don't know if you have anything, any books. I am a reader. I do read my Bible as well. But I had my tubes tied. And although I do have children, I know that was now that I have a different relationship with God, growing up in the church. But even at that, but really having a real relationship, shall I say, with God, that I know that wasn't the best thing to do. Although when I did it again, I felt that was my only way out and decision. But in part of my decision was, you know, not to duplicate having so many children, you know, like other women with multiple fathers. But right now, each time I hear about the abortions, my heart is, you know, I'm deeply grieved and saddened and sorry, and I have to go through that process, but I have not really dealt with it. You know, although I have prayed about it and asked for forgiveness, I still, each time I hear about that, I feel like I'm in the same category as someone that has had an abortion as well, given the fact that, you know, whatever God wanted to do and whoever God wanted to bring in my life threw me into this world, that I have stopped that. So that's where I'm at. And
well, I'm wondering if
I'm
wondering if the same kind of course that I went through wouldn't be of great help to you, because I think in the process of really getting in and studying the scriptures that they're giving you that specifically zero in on where we are with our, you know, our broken hearts, that would help you to actually experience the forgiveness and the healing. And a lot of times we hang on to it to punish ourselves. I know I did that for years. You just kind of keep holding on to it because you don't feel like you deserve to be forgiven. So there's all that other emotional stuff that comes into it. But I would encourage you to contact, you know, if there's a local pregnancy counseling center near you, and see if you can't get into a class and talk to them about what you're feeling. They might be able to connect you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Vivian. And we're going to pray at the end of the program. So you stay with us, keep listening, and we'll be lifting you in prayer. It's time for another short break, and we're up against our final segment. We're up against our final segment, and after this break, we will be back. So it's last call for your calls for Francine Rivers at 800-811-3003. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Tonight our guest is Francine Rivers, the New York Times bestselling author, and we have been so taken up in our conversation about news of the day as well as our personal stories that we have not asked you, Francine, about the matter at hand, your new book, Bridge to Haven. And I do want to give you the chance to talk about this because what I've heard you say in other interviews that your books are often inspired by a question. And I wanted to know if that's the case with Bridge to Haven. And if so, what is the question that intrigued you at the center of writing this latest novel from you?
Well, on this one, I think I wanted to try to write an allegory about God and Jesus and just a sinner and how that all looks and what it turned out. I can't do a book where God, it didn't work the first time I wrote it, so it ended up being about a pastor named Zeke and his son Joshua and a young a girl named Abra who is actually born and dumped and left to die under a bridge. And the inspiration for the story came from Ezekiel 16, where God is telling the story, and it's about a baby that the mother just had the baby and left it by the roadside, and yet he picks that child up. He holds that child close to his heart, and he raises her to be his bride. And but it's also the prodigal, and how the Bible is full of prodigals from the beginning to the end. We all are prodigals in one way or another, and it's about her journey of how she has to leave, and she leaves Haven. She follows after she goes away with a bad boy, and she's passed off to an agent in Hollywood. She becomes a star, and yet the fame and the fortune and all the different things just do not answer what she needs. And it's also about bridges. You know, what is a bridge? It brings you across a river or a chasm. And who is the ultimate bridge? It's Jesus Christ. But it's also about how people can be bridge people, and we can come alongside and we can help people cross that gap that they feel in their lives and help them come home to God.
One of the things that you do so brilliantly is to take the stories in the scripture, which are timeless, but reset them as historical novels in different times so that the story of Hosea and Gomer, his wayward wife, becomes redeeming love, a story of a love in the California gold rush. And this Bridge to Haven is set now in 1950s Hollywood.
Yes.
Is that time frame? I mean, Hollywood's always been, you know, a place where not safe for innocence, probably, right?
Yes, yeah.
there have always been wolves in Hollywood. But even in
the
50s, it seems like, what are the challenges that Abra faces then versus what Starlet might be or someone aspiring into Hollywood might be facing today?
Well, in 1950s especially, they literally gave them new names and created backstories for them, and the person that you thought you knew in a magazine was not the real person at all. And for Abra, she has to find out, you know, Christ knows our real identity. God knows who he made us to be and who we really are. And so she has to come to that realization and return to God and find out, why did he make her? Why did he give her the talents that she'd been given? And how does he want her to use them? And I think that's true of everybody, that we all have a unique purpose, and we're all made in God's image, but he has a special plan for each individual. No matter what's happened in the past, you know, no matter what we've been through, he has a plan, and he will work that out in your life. And even the worst things that you've been through or that you've done, he can redeem, and he can turn them to good purpose.
Was there someone specific that you based Abra's character on?
Not really, but I've just been thinking about a lot of the movie stars you see in the papers and how their lives, their humiliation is so public and so painful. And I just, you know, can't even name all of them, but I mean, I just was thinking about how some of those people are probably just really hurting and they so much need Jesus. So that's kind of who I had in mind as I was writing about Abra. Come home to God.
I mean,
you know, you're not going to find what you're looking for out there in the world and fame and fortune, all that stuff. It's just not going to last. It's not going to fulfill you.
Francine, as God has opened up the scriptures to you to enable you to retell the stories in ways that now we can grasp as you fictionalize them, tell me a little bit about your study of scripture. What's your routine? Do you have a daily devotion, or is it more like hours on end? Do you study like a theologian might? Tell me about your interaction with the scripture.
I wish I had that kind of mind. Well, we usually get up between 5:30 and 6, and my husband and I read to one another devotional, but I read through the one-year Bible every year, and I love it because it's got the old, the new, a psalm, and a proverb. And then beyond that, I'm doing Bible studies. I'm going back into Bible study fellowship. I had finished 8 years, and then I stepped back out of it for a while and was doing my own Bible studies. But I feel, you know, I need structure, and I need accountability. And I feel like sometimes being in a class where you have homework and you're meeting with other people and sharing ideas of what, you know, God's taught you for that week really helps me. So it's, you know, the one-year Bible, absolutely, every year. That takes me through the whole Bible every year. And then my own personal study, but then also to be involved in a class where you have accountability. And it is the most interesting reading there is in the universe. I mean, I write fiction, but the Bible is so much more interesting. And every time you read it, it's new. I mean, God meets you right where you are, and things will pop out, and you'll think, I didn't notice that the last time I read through it. Or you'll have new insights because God's speaking to you directly through His Word. And it's just,
well, Francine,
it's exciting.
We're so blessed that you joined us and opened up your heart, really, to share the wisdom that you've gained along the way and also from God's Word and your own experiences. And if you will, we have just about a minute and a half remaining, not much time, but I'd like to give you the chance to just pray for those who have called tonight and for those who are listening.
Lord, we just ask you to be with us right now as we pray for the women who called this evening. I think of Marilyn in Toledo and Anita and Georgia, Ramona, who we didn't get to talk to, her, and Anne, and also Debbie and Vivian. Lord, you know exactly where they are, where their hearts are, and what their needs are. We just pray that you would just make yourself known in their lives and give them comfort where they need comfort and direction where they need direction. We just pray that your will would be done in each of them. And we pray for the other women that are listening right now. Please just touch their hearts and bring them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, continue to inspire Francine. Amen. Francine Rivers is linked at cradlemyheart.org. You can find out the latest about what is going on with Bridge to Haven and all of her other outstanding fiction. And we just thank you so much for joining us, Francine. Thank you. Have a great holiday tomorrow.
Well, thank you for all you do, Kim.
God bless you, too. Coming up next week, Scott Klusendorf is going to be our guest, and then Dr. Miriam Grossman. We have got some great guests heading into the summer. You'll find out all about it at cradlemyheart.org. Visit and like us on Facebook, too, and that way you'll stay up to date. Thanks. Have a great holiday tomorrow. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.